As we heard from Eldon Sharon Brass a few when she was with us at the end of March, our grandmothers often play a different role from our mothers. Grandmothers, she said, cared for the spirit of the child and didn't have to deal with the worry that parents have. Nothing can replace a mother's love, a biological mother, an adopted mother, a maternal friend. That role is unique. And today we celebrate the unique role that our maternal ancestors have played in our lives. And these roles are ever-changing. They are mentor, family historian, loving companion, childcare provider. We are told that strong intergenerational connections can result in giving grandchildren a sense of security, of belonging to the extended family. The degree of involvement of grandparents varies from one household to the next, often depending on a variety of circumstances: physical distance, relationship with parents, health, and I'm sure you can name a few more situations. Dave and I were physically distanced from our son Doug's grandparents as he was growing up, anywhere from hundreds of miles to thousands of miles. The time we did have together was precious, not just to Doug and Dave, but to me. My sharpest and most meaningful memory of Dave's mom, Sheila, was a time when someone had done something I thought was truly awful to me. Now, I don't remember what that was or even who it was, but what I do remember is the unconditional love and support she gave me. To this day, I can feel her acceptance of me, of my rightness in the situation, even if I wasn't, and her love. Her, "Well, how dare they do that to you?" It still rings in my heart. I try to remember this when one of my granddaughters is upset. Instead of trying to convince them of why they shouldn't be upset, I just want to accept them where they are at and support them in their feelings. I'm not always successful, as my granddaughter may actually say when she speaks letter, but as my logical mind takes over, I then remember my grandma Sheila, and I think I do much better. Last week I mentioned my Aunt Rose, who taught me what it is to bring our best selves with us wherever we go, even to camp. She was an elegant woman who expressed herself with her red hair and many beautiful hats. When she looked deeply into my soul and when asking me, "How are you doing?" I knew she really meant it and really wanted to know. Now, my mum Mare, my dad's mum, came to live with us when I was 5 years old. Actually, we moved in with her on her old farmhouse, and I was pretty excited because she had a milk shed and an outhouse we'd have to use. Now, the thought process of a five-year-old were connecting those two things, okay. There came a time a couple of years later when I was tricked into being left alone with my mare while everyone else went into town. Now that was a very big deal, to go into town from the farm. Now I became resentful. Why did I have to babysit my mare? Then she did an amazing thing. She tricked me into having fun with her. We went on a field trip to pick some delicious berries, and then we baked them together, giggling over the spilt flour and almost accidents that we knew Mum would be really upset if she knew. It was our secret. She taught me that we can change any situation from negative to positive just by our own attitude. I know that I find a wonderful freedom in playing with my granddaughters that I didn't have when raising my son. Such a difference. I hope that I am teaching my granddaughters many things, but mostly that they can be whoever they want to be and know that I will love them no matter what. So I light this candle for Grandma Sheila, Aunt Rose, my Mère LeClaire, and my mom. And now we look forward to hearing the stories about your ancestors and what they brought to your life. When you are done, you're invited to light a candle in memory of her. And to begin, I'm going to invite my granddaughter, Melania, who wrote a little, I asked her to write a story about what we do together. So she very diligently typed one up on her home computer that she got during COVID. And so Melania, Doug, when you're ready, please unmute and show us Melania's beautiful face.
I love my grandma because she braids my hair every Wednesday. And the story is, she was doing the dishes and I showed her a picture and she said, I can't do that. But we tried and she did it and we love doing it together. We love reading together. I love reading graphic novels and she likes reading novels. We love reading to each other. She told me to do one thing at a time. We do my spelling test together. We like to paint our nails together. She got me nail stuff for my birthday. We like to go bike together. When we go to her house, we go for 9 a.m. walks and 3 p.m. walks. And this is why I love my grandma.
Thank you so much, Melania. I love you too. And I now leave this to you. The floor is yours. Rob said if I stay here, you might be more welcomed. So I welcome you. Yes, Megan, wonderful. Oh, then Trudy.
Thank you very much for having me. My name is Megan Jewell. I grew up in Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship. And I just wanted to say that this room is beautiful, and I walked in, it feels so bright and welcoming in here, and it's so wonderful to be around the community that I grew up in. So thank you, and thank you for having this space. I wrote this during right after my grandmother passed away, my grandma Laura Armstrong, and so I'd like to read it now for you. And some of you might have met her before. I think she used to come to church when she would come to visit us in Thunder Bay. My grandmother loved life. She loved her family. She loved her friends. She loved her activities, cards, crib, swimming. And she loved traveling. No matter what situation she presented with, no matter how challenging, she was able to overcome it. My grandmother always taught me that no matter what happens in life, if you remain calm and positive, you could overcome it. Remaining calm is something that I'm definitely continuing to work on. It was lessons like that I will remember the rest of my life. It is incredible what a smile, hard work, and a kind heart can do. When I heard my grandmother passed away, I knew that I wanted to share a few words about her. I felt the sadness that all granddaughters have when they hear this news. I also felt very, very calm. Grandmother lived a long life. It was full, happy, well-lived, and she passed away peacefully. She lived every moment of it, and I can only be happy for her. My grandmother always had a positive attitude and lived life to the fullest, boldly, lovingly, beautifully, busily, graciously, independently. She truly lived. And being with in the state that we're in, you know, I've been spending a lot of time at home, Although I'm a teacher, I get out and busy when I'm working with my students. One thing that I'm going to have to start shifting to, and just reading this is reminding me, is to get out there and start living again. Even though we might be masked, even though we might have less people around us, just getting out and doing the things that we love and just finding our place back in the world. So thank you very much.
So I'll speak to maternal ancestry as sort of a passing of the torch. My mom lived to 99 years and one day, and her mother to 95, not in this country. And so I never met her beyond one trip we made to the Caribbean when I was 1 year old. But the big anecdote is that my maternal grandmother would put a deck of cards on the floor just to bend over and pick them up. So I've had a torch passed to me that I now need to live long, and so my daughter can live long. Thank you.
I've been trying to remember things about my grandmother. I didn't spend many years of my life with my grandmother. This is my maternal grandmother, and I never had any time really with my paternal grandmother. But I heard stories about my maternal grandmother. They had moved to the Abitibi region in Quebec. They were part of the wave in the 30s, who were moved from the area south of Quebec City all the way north into, you know, north of Val d'Or in Quebec, and they cleared the land there. Now, my grandmother had grown up in an orphanage because her mother had died when she was quite young, and her father was a businessman who required him to be on the road a lot. So he didn't feel that he could take care of her, and I don't know, never heard what happened to the other kids, but she ended up in an orphanage where she learned many, many, many things. Like, she was extremely gifted with all kinds of crafts. She sang, and she became a teacher. So she ran a one-room schoolhouse in this burgeoning little tiny village in the wilds of Quebec. And one story that sticks out that I'm not surprised, because knowing who my mom is, who was a fierce defender of social justice and was a great example in terms of serving the poor, a story that sticks in my mind is of my grandparents, along with the other people in the community, standing up to the parish priest. The parish priest in those days was very domineering, and would preach from the pulpit and shame people around having a gazillion children, that it was their God-given duty. My grandparents only had three children. And another story from that time is that the priest didn't want them to be dancing, and they insisted that they would dance. It didn't matter what the priest said. So I think that's really amazing back in those days. Maybe a precursor of the Quiet Revolution. Anyway, I like to think that I've inherited some of that spirit and that sense of social justice. And I guess my own journey these last few months with my mom have kind of demonstrated that they have seeped through.
Is there anyone on Zoom who would like to speak? Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Welcome, Peterka.
I brought two pictures. I leave them for you to see. I never really remember my grandparents because it's a long time ago. but I found something from a comedian or a cabaretier, as they say, in the Netherlands, who wrote about his ancestors. His name is Freek de Jonge, and maybe Ed will know. He says, about our ancestors, your names are anchored in our memories. Your thought patterns keep feeding us. Let us step over the pain we caused each other. Look down on us with love. You are the foundation on which we build, the power from which we live, and the memories that continue to steer us now and forever.
Thank you, Peetika. And now we do have a Zoom offering. Sue, when you're ready. Unmute yourself, Sue. Okay, thanks.
They're about to give you a talk, Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Say. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you a story about my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. She lived in St. John, New Brunswick, and there's an article written about her. When she was 19, it was a terrible fire. There, and of course the houses are wooden, and my grandmother was organized people to fight the fire and saved a lot of the belongings in her own home. So I actually have the clipping. And she turned out to be a phenomenal woman who took on causes that were important and to the community. And my mother followed her example. So I have that in my background. Thank you. I never knew her.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah, that's too much of a sad story that we haven't had a chance to know. And Ed, please welcome to come up. Oh. Yeah, it should be on. Can you hear us okay now? Okay. There you go, Ed.
After Peter's words, it all of a sudden felt that I needed to come up to. Even closer. Okay. May is the month in which we in Holland celebrated our liberation after 5 years of rather difficult living. And it brought back some memories of my mom, who was able to feed us when there was nothing else but sugar beets, or when we had the tulip bulbs being converted into something that looked like edible, but which created some rather interesting problems, because the tulips are not only pretty, they also have poison in the bulbs. And so my mother eventually suffered from an episode in which she had to be hospitalized as a result of eating the wrong kind of a food. But it also reminds me of the time that she was able to feed others. When kids were coming through, going through from the southern parts of the bigger cities, to the countryside in order to find some food to bring it back to their families. Then when we were noticing them, they also had something to eat over at our place. And many and very vivid are the memories of kids handing food to others when they were able to share it, even the little bit that they were given. So times of suffering, times of gratefulness, times of memory.
Thank you, Ed. Rosemary?
I was trying to think what I could contribute because first of all, my grandparents lived in either direction, but and we're not, as my one of my sisters said, well, our grandmother Burris was really crabby. So my memories are not the warm, fuzzy ones that I thought would be nice to share. But at the same time, I was thinking about coming here, I was remembering my aunt had saved some of the letters that our grandmother had sent, and it left such an impact on me. These were written on scraps of paper that perhaps they would have picked up at the general store advertising, you know, some sort of food. These were my grandmother, Ann Carb Gould, grew up in Shubenacadie, Nova Scotia, in that Stewiacke region, the Annapolis Valley. They were very hard times at this point. They first of all had their children have to leave, most of them, and my father being one of them. But on this little slip of paper that my Aunt Polly had saved were tiny, tiny scripted messages in the blank spaces. And these would be sent from person to person. So they would go to my Uncle Gordon in Richmond, Virginia. They would go to my father. They would go on to Polly, who was in Montreal, and back to Bob, who stayed on the farm. And, you know, looking at these little snippets of news, you caught the sense of how important it was against all of the economic odds and the difficulties of even finding paper to communicate, to keep the family together, how important that family connection was. And where my sister remembers the crabby Granny Burris, I also remembered being sent to Montreal to accompany her back on train. She would have been in her 80s, late 80s, and, you know, I was aware by the way she moved and probably some of the size and maybe the length of time she spent in the bathroom, that this was not easy for her. And she certainly hadn't traveled often to see us, but I was very conscious that there was a reason for that and that she felt it important and she was willing to go beyond her comfort zone. So crabby maybe was what my sister saw, but I saw strength and I saw commitment. So Ann Carr Gould Burris is a real inspiration to me.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. Thank you so much, all of you who are willing to share your stories. I think, oh, yes? Jen. Ah, excellent. Okay, Jen, thank you so much. Unmute if you haven't already, and we'd love to see your face.
Hello. Listening to these stories, I have a grandmother I could speak about, but I think more significant in many ways are women who befriended me and had a significant impact on me. And these were women who were good friends of my parents, but they had no children. And they took me to, one of them was a very good friend, and she took me to hear Danny Kaye in Boston. And that was a memorable event. She always had a smile. She was always really friendly. And of course, she didn't have to be disciplinary because she wasn't my mother. And not that my mother was mean, she was not. And then this particular friend, she had started something in Cambridge, Massachusetts, called the Center for Adult Education. And she had hired many of the educated people who were escaping World War II. And it was a new thing. So that's where my mother met her. She worked there as a secretary. And this particular friend, then she and a friend of hers, we joined together and bought a summer house that was just a big barn out in the country. And we gardened together, cooked together as a family, their family and my family. And I remember visiting her in New Hampshire, where she was staying in a senior resident. And I had lunch with her there, which was delicious. And the thing I remember most is she said, "I am so lucky. I can still read." And I've always remembered that. And when my husband and I moved to the woods, next door neighbor, who was also quite a bit older than me, and we could go down there, ski down, walk down, whatever. And it's, "Oh, you're just here in time for lunch." And lunch was meat salad, canned beef, canned milk with coffee. Things always appeared out of nowhere. And to have a place that you're always welcome. And I think it's a big message to me that I haven't done well with, to reach out to other people's children. Because I think many people feel they're left out because they don't have children or grandchildren. I think that's too bad, because you have an even stronger role. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Families are complicated, and there's no doubt about it. So as we close this session, I'm assuming there's no more on Zoom. Last chance. So Bettina, could I invite you please to light a candle for all those women that have touched our lives, even the brokenness of our lives, for in that we have learned compassion perhaps, and just that we all struggle. So thank you all, and thank you, Bettina.